I don't know, like a silent sneeze or like a silent kind of blow. I was just able to, and I was like, you know, blowing, but now it's like a Muppet. I feel like I'm honking and, you know, it's a car horn kind of a thing.
Hello, and thank you very much for downloading this most recent episode of Movie Guys Podcast. You can download many more episodes at movieguyspodcast.podbean.com.
It's very rare where we review a movie that, well, I've never seen when it comes to our retrospective series. I've never seen Up in Smoke, so I have a lot of opinions about this. I'm probably going to make a lot of people mad, but today we're talking about Up in Smoke. Eric, how the hell are you doing?
I am also excited to review this movie because I have seen this movie many times. It is one of the few movies that I have, and it's a DVD. I used to have a lot of DVDs in my collection. They got rid of a lot of them, and during that purge, there was that decision-making time where you had to say, what am I going to keep, and what's going away, and Up in Smoke stayed.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, of course, I've heard of this movie. I have seen stuff about this movie. I am not a stoner movie guy. I have seen majority of them, just not a fan of them. Them smoking pot doesn't bother me. It's just the overall stories. I just like predictable. The stoner always gets away. Okay. You know, like been there, done that. But this is a chance for me to see The Godfather, right? The one that started it all, right? Like this is the Godfather of stoner movies, right?
This is definitely one of the bigger influential ones of the early years. That's for dang sure. This movie came out in, what, 1978? And this is Cheech and Chong's first movie after getting famous from doing stand-up routines and comedy albums. So this is their first movie, and everyone knows them to just be these stoner duos, kind of almost like a Jay and Silent Bob at their time.
Right. So... of course, we have to do our buddy retrospective series with these guys, right? Since these guys are the Godfathers, and here we are talking about it. I know nothing of Cheech and Chong. I don't know the history of Cheech and Chong. I don't know the history of this movie. But boy, some of the B-level actors that came out in this movie, I was smiling.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many actors were in this. Harry Dean Stanton was in this as well. He was in a deleted scene.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, and because I have DVD, I got the deleted scenes.
It wasn't worth it.
He has a short little role where he plays a jail guard that tries to sell drugs.
Fair enough. So I said to you off air that now that I've finally seen this, I can see where all the tropes came from, right?
Absolutely.
So, which in turn is kind of interesting from this point of view because this in turn then made the movie boring and predictable for me. Right. Because I've seen it. Right. It's like somebody seen Scary Movie. Right. And all that franchise and then say, OK, I'm going to go see Scream now. Scream will be predictable at that point.
Starting backwards. Yeah.
Right. That's what's happening for me. Like I've seen the Harold and Kumar's.
Pineapple Express, Half Baked, Friday.
Friday. I've seen it all. And I know the tropes. It is nice to see this. I will say, critique right off the bat, Cheech and Chong are horrible actors.
What?
Yeah. I mean...
why would you say that? First off, they are playing characters.
I know, but I don't enjoy it.
Okay. That's up to you. But they are... absolutely playing characters. That is not the real Cheech Marin. That is not the real Tommy Chong. They are playing characters that just happen to make them a lot of money.
Sure. Yeah. I just don't like the character. So the beginning of the movie, it's like Cheech wakes up. He's a dad. He's a parent.
No,
right,
he's in a, no. It's a lot of, this is when they could do a lot of racial stereotypes and just get away with a lot of raunchiness. He's in a Mexican house.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, all right then. So basically, a lot of illegals, when they cross the border and they don't have a place to stay, they can find, just one of them needs to get something legit, be able, you know, get a house, a rent, find a piece, and then they all go in there. So you could have one house, one like three bedroom, one bath, probably two bedroom, one bath even, but I don't know, this is 78, so it probably stretched out, and you could have like 20 Mexicans living in there.
Oh, okay. I got it. Okay, fine.
That's why, so when he goes out of the house, you see like there's three Mexicans getting their hair cut on the front lawn. It's a Mexican house.
I just thought it was the culture, like, you know, I'm watching Boys in the Hood.
Sure.
I didn't know. No, I don't know what this movie is. I don't know what the plot of this movie is. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. There's really no trailers to really kind of go back and watch, really. Right? So
yeah, they had a hard time marketing this movie. How they marketed it originally was comic strips on side of bus benches.
This movie has like that. The reason why I say that like that is because this movie has like this grindhousey kind of thing to it. Like it's really, really not a good movie. It's poorly shot. Like, I mean, the acting overall, I think, is really bad. And you know how like you have like in the 30s, the 40s, and 50s when the radio host was like talking with that high pitch, like, "Hey, everybody," you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? In 70s films, even in Jaws, like there were like really high pitch. I mean, like whales of like talking. You know, it's like their boom operation wasn't that great. So this movie is no better. Like this is like a trauma film. You know, like this is really like just
1978.
Cheap. It seems cheap.
It is cheap. I think the budget was only like $1 million.
This was $1 million in 78.
Yeah, let me double check that, but I'm pretty sure $2 million estimated. Yeah, because Lou Adler originally got greenlit for $1 million for the budget of this movie. He went back to the studio to ask for more. They said no, and so he fronted another $800,000 of his own money to make this movie, which was a smart move because this movie has since grossed over $100 million worldwide.
Okay. All right. It's not nothing to write home about.
It's a cult. Listen, I get it. I'm the same way with Pineapple Express. I know when that movie came out, people were like, "Oh man, it's the greatest blah 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 movie of all time." It's like, this movie is not good. I did not like it at all. I thought it was dumb, and I wouldn't even put it on my top 10 list for stoner movies. I know a lot of people would. But it's
no, I'm gonna put in top 10.
I wouldn't, yeah, and I might sound sacrilegious for that, but as somebody who's been a long time stoner, I can tell you, you know, 10 more movies, including this one, that deserve to be on that list, and that one's not on it.
Okay, so clearly I'm showing my hand, right, by saying that I'm not a stoner movie fan. It's just because I've seen everything leading up to this movie, right? Well, you know what I mean. And it's just like, okay, I have seen this before. I've seen the tropes. We get which one? Cheech, right? Who was in the Mexican house? You know, he's just down on your luck, bum kind of guy, right? All he does is to get stoned. Like there's no.
He's Mexican.
There's nothing. Yeah, there has to be more than just he's Mexican.
He's an illegal Mexican.
He's illegal.
Yeah, because later on in the movie, they get deported.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So,
all right, okay,
yeah.
Fine. So he's an illegal Mexican, but Chong is the only... Okay, so Chong's not Hispanic, though, maybe his character's not, because in this movie, his parents are rich white people?
Yes, they're very well-to-do rich white people. Famous parents, by the way, who this the entire bit was ad-libbed.
Oh, okay.
And I think that the dad, Strother Martin, in this, he cracks me up in this. I don't know, just the way he overreacts. Overreacting usually gets a charge out of me where, you know, he's just... when will you get a job? So I sent you off to military school like that Finkelstein kid, shit kid. Son of a bitch.
Clearly the director was just like, all right, you are a very angry dad and you're going to take a military school. Go.
There was a lot of liberties for a lot of these actors. I know that you said you've identified a few of them, but the parents in this were, for their time, pretty famous. They were pretty busy in like the 50s and the 40s. Strother Martin, you might know for being the captain in Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah, no, I've seen a lot of people in this. I just don't see it. You know, and that's not me playing a character or a bit. This is just me saying I just don't see it. Like, you know, so like Chong is...
It does help to be very high watching this movie.
I'm assuming so, because I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Like, I've always been a beer guy, you know that, so I just don't get it. Like, this is a movie about smuggling beer. Maybe I would get it. You know what I mean?
Well, how do you feel about Beer Fest?
See, that's the thing. I freaking love Beer Fest.
Uh-huh.
You know, I really know that's a bad movie. It's a terrible movie. But it's like a guilty pleasure movie.
There you go. To each their own. Yeah. But, yeah. Chong just is a kind of a, what, like a, just an unmotivated rich kid, right?
Is he a rich kid? Like, that's my question, too. Because this is because of his ethnicity? I'm not saying those words
ethnicity?
Right. Ethnicity? Like, his parents are white. So, yeah. I mean, like, is he adopted?
Bend and scoop like the Mexicans.
Sorry, is he Mexican?
I could quote all day this movie. No, he's not. He's not supposed to be, at least I don't think. He's just, again, a kid that who is unmotivated, doesn't want to do a job. He wants to be in a band. He's a drummer. And, yeah, he's rich. His dad has a Rolls Royce, and he takes the grill off the Rolls Royce and puts it on his VW instead.
And he gets, like, lost on the beach, you know. And this is where the two
meet. He sleeps in a ditch, yeah.
This is where the two meet, and they bond over, what, dog poop weed in the car? And he's like, man, did you smoke dog poop?
This is the iconic scene that we talked about Wayne's World and how their car scene was iconic. And this, I would say, is far more iconic.
This is iconic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's them meeting and doing their traditional Cheech and Chong bit, where it's just, this is how it works. At least in my personal experience, when one guy's just like, hey man, I got something we can smoke, man. It's a joint, you know. That's not a joint, it's a toothpick, man. And it's like, well, no, it's not. Oh, it is a toothpick. Okay, well, let me get the other joint. And he gets that little springy thing. And Chong's like, oh man, all right, I got something. I got the good stuff. And he breaks out that huge whatever that chonger is, what it's actually known in the culture now.
This is a thing.
Yeah. So in their heyday of selling their records and albums, and this is a big part of it, they had included a monster rolling paper in the inside part of the album, the record of the 35 or whatever they were selling. And 45? Whatever. I don't know. And you could, with that giant rolling paper, roll a joint like that, a quarter pounder.
That would kill you.
Nah. It'd just put you to sleep.
Would it? My God.
If you smoked all of that, I think the worst it could do is probably put you to sleep. Or give you some bad cotton mouth. Especially because half of it is Labrador.
Yeah, Labrador poop, right?
It's mostly Maui Wowie, but some of it's Labrador.
Okay, so I'm just going to flat out say it, right? So somebody who doesn't enjoy stoner movies but is understanding and respects the Godfather that this is, I am still rolling my eyes, though, right? Because of Chong, right? Chong is really annoying for me. Like, his, come on, man, and what are you doing, man? And it's just like, oh, my God. You can make a drinking game out of every time he says man.
Because that would kill you. Hold on a sec. Let me bring up the movie uses the word man 295 times.
Do you know Chong's name, or is it just man?
It's through some research, people found out that it's Anthony Stoner. Because in the beginning, his dad calls him Anthony, and when he pulls out the vanity plate on the Rolls Royce, says Mr. Stoner. So presumably he'd be Anthony Stoner, but he's credited as Man.
Man, you're right. Like, I would tell you the part of the movie, which is in the beginning, right, where I like where my arms start to fold a little bit, which is where they get super baked on this dog poop weed.
They clambake the car.
And yeah, and then they're like stuck like in the middle of the road, like on this little island thing, right? And then the cops are there, right?
And pull just, off, yeah. And he's, how's my driving, and, man?
Yeah, and just like, I'm really annoyed, honestly. Because I'm just like, okay, what's the plot of this movie? Like, is Cheech and Chong going to escape Guantanamo Bay? Like, what's going on? Like, this is really stupid.
It's them just being idiots, taking drugs and getting away with everything. Because, yeah, this part when he gets super baked and there's pulled over on the side of the road and Cheech is just lit. You know, eyes rolled back and everything. How's my driving, man? I think we're parked, man. And he starts freaking out, which does happen when you... That's the closest I can imagine to being overdosing on weed, to be honest, is you get like a kind of like a panic attack.
That doesn't sound like that's good.
No, but what happens when you drink too much alcohol?
You go to sleep.
Uh-huh. That happens every time? You don't, throw up or get alcohol poisoning or anything?
No, because I don't bring myself to that point.
Okay. But I'm for the general public, not for a professional like yourself, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate being called a professional, yes.
So he's freaking out, and... Tommy Chong says, "Well, hold on, man. I got something that'll mellow you out, man." Which, by the way, right. I'm laughing because he's just, "Hey, mellow out, man," yelling at him. And he's like, "Here, take these." And Cheech takes them, and as soon as he does, he's like, "Oh, wait, don't take those, man."
That happened twice in this movie. Like, I mean, like, was that how it was in the late 70s where it's like, take this, and people are like, okay, and they're like, oh, man.
In that culture, that hippie culture, because these are hippies. You know,
are they hippies?
Yeah, they are absolutely hippies. And that's just the California culture right there. Again, they're California dreaming. Keep that in mind.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, this happened twice. It was like, don't take that. And it happened again at the end. It was like, oh, I gave him the wrong stuff. And it's just like, really? Okay.
Well, the other time was when the chick gave Chong a bunch of stuff, right? Is that what you're referring
right.
to?
Right. Yeah, right at the end when she was like, it's uppers. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah, and that's just how it was. There's not like any good way to label anything. You're hiding everything.
So are you saying that, you know, for a square like me, that this was the culture then and the culture now when it comes to weed culture, right? It's just like this ridiculously overhyped, or is this weed culture but like shown through a window of nonsense?
Well, weed's a gateway drug, right? And as, again, a high schooler watching this who was going through it, I was in the same ballpark as they were, where anything that was offered, there's a good chance I'd probably take it. Some limitations. Obviously, drugs are a little, well, they're much scarier now than they were back then. But still, not everything is with its side effect. Right. But back then, I think it was just more a way of the lifestyle. Right. Especially because hitchhiking isn't a thing now. And hitchhiking was very popular back in the 60s and 70s. So happens a lot in this movie as well, too.
Yeah, I you know, for me, like I've never been known on a personal note. I've never been known to like get plastered on beer, right? I just drink beer, just kind of chill out, you know? But, like, I can proudly say that I smoked weed once and I hated it. I've never done it since. That was when I was 18. Like, I just hated it.
Sure.
And I don't like mind-altering stuff. So I guess the look of disgust on my face is not because I'm actually disgusted by these people. It's the look of disgust of, why do you want to alter your mind? You know what I mean? It's like, because I can't understand not being in control.
Oh, sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's usually so, like, just people looking for an escape or just looking to party because they're bored with their life. That's basically what it is. But in this movie, same with like Half-Baked, I would say, where Hollywood likes to depict this very weird stereotypical effect that drugs have, that it's not normally the case.
Right. It's embellished, of course.
Yeah. So if you're a first time smoker and you're like just getting into it, you're gonna get that giggly high, kind of like what Cheech was in that car right there. But if
Right.
you're a longtime smoker, after a while, I mean, smoking ain't nothing. It's you get a little buzz and then you just go about your day and you can function normally. Yeah, I was surprised in my later years to discover getting to know people how many at work take like an edible in the morning, or they go on break and they smoke like a mini joint or something like that in on their break time, their lunch break, and it's just a you really?
Right.
The engineer, the one with the doctorate, it's weird, but again, part of this culture, where
Okay.
I think they're just playing their characters. Same with like, dude, where's my car? The
Right, which is
dumb
another
stoner.
terrible movie. Yes. Like, okay, so look, like, I am not giving my Parker rating right off the. I'm not doing
I think
that,
it's pretty
right?
obvious already, but.
No, it's not because, well, how about this? I'll spoil this part. I'm gonna give it higher than what I would normally give just because of what it is.
Sure.
Because I do respect the things that have come after that. You know what I mean?
This inspired Beavis and Butthead.
Sure. No, I that's why I'm gonna give it higher than what I would normally give. Like, if we were reviewing a Half-Baked or a Grandma's Boy. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like, I would give I'm giving it higher. But so, no pun intended.
Real
The
high, man.
only part of the movie that actually got a laugh out of me, to be honest with you, is after they got arrested and they go to the judge and the judge is pouring water into her mug or whatever, and Chong is, I don't know, in cotton mouth or whatever the heck is going
No,
on where he's
dude.
coughing.
So in that car scene, which again is hysterical to me because Cheech is just oblivious to the cops that are pulling him over, and he has, license. Where's your license? He's like, isn't it back there on the bumper, man?
Yeah, that part was funny.
And the entire time while he's interacting with the cop, Chong is downing everything that he has. You could see him
Right.
just kind of sneaking and putting it in his hand and just swallowing, just really taking everything, which
Right.
is ridiculous. My favorite part is when he finally gives his ID to the cop and Cheech goes, "Hey man, I just th thought of something funny. Your mama."
Really? No, I thought it was funny when they were in court and then Chong was still tweaking from the drugs and then he took a drink and it was like, man, that water's vodka, man.
Yeah.
And I was like, that makes sense. Like, that's what got a laugh out of me, to be honest with you.
So that sets the tone of the movie that they got a lucky break.
Right. So I'm like, oh, okay. So after they, the drug, the
They get let off on a
judge.
technicality there.
You're right, because the judge is an alcoholic, so now they're out, right? And then this is where they go to Cheech's friend's house, Strawberry, right after battling a xenomorph. What the freak is Dallas doing here? No, this came out in 78, right? So the next year he's battling a xenomorph.
Yeah,
Like,
apparently it was like a chance thing. They met at some sort of LA thing, or I don't know. They asked them to do it. Tom Skerritt came on next day, not knowing what he was getting himself into, and shot that in like a day or two.
it was hilarious, like, because I'm just like, okay, so I don't know a lot of Tom Skerritt films, right?
Sure.
But I respect him because it's one of my favorite franchises of all time. So to see him pre-Alien was shocking.
Yeah, looking like that. Yeah.
Looking like that with the, like, I love Cheech. He was like, to Chong, he was like, hey, man, don't look at his birthmark, man.
Yeah.
He was like, okay. All right, and he has this big birthmark.
Now, yeah, it wasn't like the Austin Powers where he's moly moly type of thing, but
well, that's what Austin Powers gets it.
He's
from.
Obviously looking at the mole, and you know, Tom Skerritt's like, "You got a problem, brother?" He goes, "No, man, no." And he looks at Cheech. He's like, "I wasn't looking at his mole, man.
I wasn't. Yeah,
I wasn't looking at his neck, man. That's what it is, something like that."
But we find out why this is going on, right? Why they're going to Strawberry's house to hang out, get high, whatever.
Score some smoke.
Stacy Keach, out of my favorite sitcom, Titus, and American History X, Stacy Keach comes in. Looking like he does in those, but also younger. Looking and fit. So let me talk to you about Stacy Keach. So for longtime fans of the show, we interviewed Zach Ward like 6 years ago, dude.
Been a while.
Like a long time ago. And Zach Ward was clearly on our show to talk about his current projects, but I wouldn't let him because all I would talk to him about was Titus. And
you got the man on there. Hey, at least we didn't talk to him about Christmas Story, right?
Right. And, you know, he was telling us stories in the episode. It's a great episode. Check it out. But just go to movieguyspodcast.com, Zach Ward episode. But this is Titus's dad, right? I mean, like Stacy Keach.
Oh, yeah.
He's fit, but he has that face of a hard drinking 70s man. You know, like he has that face. And he is the head of this drug sting operation where the Mexican cartel is going, they're bringing weed over the border, but they make the whole van become.
He's at first scoping out Strawberry's place, and they raid that place, which again, Cheech and Chong get lucky to get out of. Because Chong was able to get out of the house during the raid, and then also during the raid, Cheech comes up with the pretty good idea where him and his Mexican friend, brothers, cousins, whatever, come in as repo men.
Right.
And take out some stuff. So they get away with that. The next scene, they talk about how Sergeant Stadenko is Stacy Keach's character, and his team are getting a scoop on a big bust that could be coming in. And he explains what fiber weed is, where they extract the weed from the seeds, they turn it into a liquid, they synthesize the liquid into a plastic, which then goes into a spray, and that, gentlemen, is called fiber weed.
Totally naive. Is that a thing?
Sure.
Or is that made up?
Oh, what? The actual
fiber weed, like the actual fiber weed, is that a thing?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, sure, it could be, but the money that it would take to do that is probably not worth the time and effort to just traffic the weed over. And that, and who's going to buy weed that used to be a car?
I don't know. Stoners?
No, I would imagine that it's just for the movie.
Okay, all right. I didn't know if it was a thing. So now Stacy Keach is on the tail of Cheech and Chong. So I have one eye on the movie and I have one eye doing another thing. But like Cheech goes to this drug cartel place, not to pick up the truck, but he goes there to take a crap. Right?
They get deported. Because that whole thing was them trying to find weed and they couldn't find weed. And Strawberry bailed out on him, yada, yada. And so they eventually got weed from Curtis, the local pimp. You know?
Okay.
I know Curtis. Yeah. And I like Curtis. And Curtis sells him the weed that'll put a hump in a camel's back. And it's some dirt, as we all know. And, yeah. And they're at home and they're smoking and they're just like, well, this isn't anything. Then they realize that it's the Migra. And they're being deported, and they willfully go because Cheech has a cousin that's getting married in Mexico, and they call the Migra or immigration on themselves so that way they could get all deported because it's cheaper. They all get a free ride to Mexico and a free meal out of it, too. And so then they all go to Mexico for the wedding. So yeah, they do that. We don't see obviously the wedding scene, but this is explained. And right. His plan to get across the border is that he calls another friend, cousin, whatever, who has an upholstery shop and says, I need you to smuggle some upholstery back over the border. So they go to the upholstery shop, and it's ends up being a van made out of fiberweed. And yeah, he has to
literally
poop. He has to poop because they eat street burritos.
Okay. I mean, as you can see, my attention span is.
That's okay. Listen, I didn't have to rewatch this movie. I could have told you it all by heart without having to rewatch it, but I did anyway because I love this movie.
Fine. I also lied to you. So I told you that the movie got one laugh out of me. The movie got a second laugh out of me. So they're in the weed van, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to the border. We get the Border Patrol, right? And they got a bunch of nuns, and they're smoking that gigantic joint again.
The chonger, yep.
The chonger. And Chong throws into the nun car, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, the nun doesn't realize it, right? But then, oh my God, you know, I'm burning, right? And then all the Border Patrol is like, she's got the chonger, man. Like, this is happening,
it's
right?
Like a bust. So then,
right. And then they put all the nuns, which I couldn't believe they got away with this, but they put all the nuns up against the glass and they were frisking the nuns, and the nuns were all kind of like really enjoying
they're
the
frisking. All loving it, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just, they were like, woo. And I was like, I was laughing.
At this part, too, this is to Stacy Keach's credit, why I love this character so much. He plays it. Plays Sergeant Sadenko because he's being interviewed by the local news at the border. And there's a right. part when she asks him, do you hope to see or do you expect to see any violence today? And he goes, oh, I sure hope so. It is just
yeah.
the way he sells it, so straight faced and just quick with it. And I love this character. He's just so good.
I loved him when she also said in the same interview, she's like, have you ever smoked, dude? He's like, once. You know, kind of thing. And
yeah,
it was
exactly.
Like, he's like, I smoked a joint once at Ralph's house back in 1965, so I know what these guys think. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
That guy. Yeah. What are right. these tight, you know, wadded kind of cops, man, who just, yeah.
Right. And then we get that chase on the expressway, too, where the cops just cannot get on the ramp where they need to be, and then Cheech and Chong pick up one really attractive woman and another one that just, woof.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, okay. And, like, I mean, these girls were going to see a battle of bands or a concert or something.
That's right.
But it was a long time with these girls, which I kind of felt annoyed. It reminded me of the Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back scene when they picked up the hitchhike girls, but they were something else.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
were. Yeah, that kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, sure. And they end up having a lot of drugs. And they also abide by the rule of the road for hitchhiking, which we all know is gas, grass, or ass.
Gotcha. So that's why we had to get the gratuitous sex scene.
So the blonde goes back to hook up with Cheech, and the other girl gives Chong all the drugs. Some Quaaludes.
I'm so glad we're reviewing this, man. This movie sucks. It's just, I don't understand it, man.
I think it's just out of your time, or out of our time, really.
No, it's not, right? Because there's tons of old movies that I love, right?
Well, yeah, those are bigger budget movies, though. This is, like I said, this is Dude, Where's My Car, 1978.
Yeah, but I don't like Dude, that. Yeah,
this
but
is
like
Super
that
Troopers in 1978.
Okay, so controversial opinion. I'm not really a fan of Super Troopers.
Should I keep on going for other?
No, I'm just,
Grandma's Boy. I know you like that one.
No, I don't like Grandma's Boy.
You love Grandma's Boy.
I don't.
You
like
don't stop talking about Grandma's Boy, and you have a poster next to your bedroom.
I do.
There it is, Grandma's Boy. Everybody, Jordan's lying to you. He has it autographed.
I just, it's not my bag, baby. You know, I don't know. So then, like, we get to the concert. And like Chong like doesn't want to go on because like all the bands are like just bombing, right? Like I mean this crowd is horrible. So then like so that one girl gives them uppers, but they're not uppers. And all of a sudden I go pee and I come back and Stacey Keach is dressed as a monk with the other cops. I'm like, oh my god, what is happening now?
Yeah, they're obviously still trying to trail them, and they have this nice bit, visual bit, where the cops are, you know, moving seats in the car because of how much they piss off Sergeant Stanko. And one of the cops, Harry, shoots out their own tire.
Right.
Harry, you are a stupid, stupid man. Oh, God, I love it so much. Yeah, eventually they catch up at the Battle of the Bands. How they get there, I forget. Probably by car, of course. Right. But they go into their stakeout van, like a laundry van, and they see the Hare Krishna kind of prating around, and they think, oh, that'll be a good way for us to get in. And so they lure them into the van, take their clothes, and then try to chant their way into the concert for free.
Right, and the bouncers were like, you got to have a ticket. And they're like, okay. We're not monks. We're cops. And the bouncers were like, we're still getting a ticket.
Yeah, got to have tickets.
Got to have tickets to get into this place.
The real heroes of the movie, by the way.
Are the those bouncers
doing their job.
I guess. And then Chong is just so incredibly wasted. He can't play. Cheech comes out wearing booby tassels and a skirt.
And a tutu, actually.
Oh, my God. And
so
then,
their big problem was is that the band that they had only just gotten together, and they've only rehearsed twice. They have no material. They have no songs. So they don't know what they're going to do. So while they are waiting to go on stage, Cheech had been writing material for the song initially that they go on for.
Right.
Yeah. So that's.
But still, though, I mean, like, he goes on, he does his thing. I just. Okay. So what annoys.
Well, you know what gets them up, though, right?
Right. Which is another thing that just kind of rolls my eyes, right? So Vance covered in weed, outside and in. And the tailpipe, is that right? It's too hot, so it catches fire?
No. Earlier before, they had, like, hit a pothole or, like, they went over a curb or something like that, and it bottomed out, and it hit the gas tank. And so they had been driving, and the car had been kind of leaking a bit. And from the heat, obviously from the exhaust, would heat it up. And so the time when they were on their way to Battle of the Bands, and they got pulled over by the motorbike.
And the motorbike cop
got high because he was tailing them and obviously getting blasted in the face with all that weed.
Right, and he was just like, "Do you guys have a hot dog?"
You guys, yeah, exactly. What do you want? Like,
all right, see you later. You know, and then of course, all the smoke, all the pot from the van infects the Stacey Keach Indie Gang.
Yeah, it catches on fire because it was illegally parked and it was being towed by the cops who found the van and they were pulling it out. And yeah, they were stopped as they were towing it by the two criminals. I don't know if this is a detail that's not really shown brightly in the movie, but when Cheech and Chong were in the upholstery shop, there were two men who were suited, who were wearing suits, and they were most likely the drug dealers or the kingpins. And I think the Cheech and Chong were the wrong drivers.
Right.
They went obviously. To this one. They went to the wrong upholstery shop, and they got the wrong van, obviously. Right. And so they're not only being trailed by the cops, but they're being trailed by these two guys. Which eventually, at the Battle of the Bands, the cops were towing the van out. They get stopped by the drug dealers who were just like, hey, wait a minute. And then the cops were like, well, do you know who we are? You know, they had that confrontation, and then they arrest the two guys.
Uh-huh.
And as they're waiting for backup, there was a guy outside smoking, and he walks away and he throws his cigarette onto the pool of the gasoline, which
ignites it.
Yeah, which starts the car on fire, and then everybody gets high.
Right, and then like Stacey Keach and the gang get high, and then like the crowd of the Battle of Bands are just jerks to be jerks, and then somehow magic weed, the smoke of the weed, comes from the parking lot outside of the venue into the air filtration system of the place and gets everybody baked instantly to love the band.
Yeah, it perks Tommy Chong right up, and they get to rockin', playing an awesome song.
Right, reminds me of Bill and Ted too.
Yeah. Or maybe some Tenacious D. I've
never seen that movie.
You ever seen Pick of Destiny?
No, I'm not a Tenacious D fan.
Okay, well, yeah, that's okay. That movie bombed, so I guess nobody was.
Not a Tenacious D fan. I like some of the tunes, not majority. And I mean that's it, right? I mean there's some others. Yeah, that's it. And it's like, I don't want to repeat myself. I'm trying not to, but like knowing that we were gonna review this movie, like behind the scenes here, fans, like this schedule of a retrospective series is done like almost a year in advance, right? Would you agree?
We planned for the retrospective pretty well, yeah, and in far in advance. Yeah.
And it's like maybe not a year, maybe like 6 months, but I mean like. But we'll be playing. So then when we decided we're going to do this movie was a big red flag for me. Because I'm just like, okay, I've never seen it. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. So it's like, how's my review of this going to be? Right? And like I said, man, I had like one eye on the screen, one eye on something else. Because once the movie started, I knew what I was getting. So I knew if I stepped away to go to the restroom or make myself something to eat or something like that, I will come back and I will still be able to follow what is going on. You know, like so
to
like,
a certain movie, level, yeah.
Right. So it's like, so I was doing a lot of that in between, but it was fun to see, you know, Tom Skerritt in this. It was fun to see Stacey Keach in this. It was fun to see characters, actors that I know.
Sure.
It was fun. So I guess for my overall popcorn rating, again, this deserves a higher rating for what it is. I will give it a medium.
Okay.
I give it a medium for the status of it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's fair.
You're right. Like if somebody says to me, hey, I want to check out Stoner Flicks, what do you recommend? I recommend A, B, C, D, but this is The Godfather. Of it, like this is the movie that started all the things that you're going to see. I finally seen it. I respect it for it. I don't necessarily like it, but I get it.
They had 7 movies.
None of them, so like Bond movies, right? Like none of them like continue a story, right? Like they're just
no. This has 2 sequels.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
This has Nice Dreams and Still Smoking.
So this is a trilogy.
Hold on. Cheech and Chong's next movie might be the sequel of it as well, too. But they've had a lot of movies. And again, they're just playing their characters. They have an off-ball one where it's called Cheech and Chong, the Corsican Brothers. Might be saying that wrong. But that, like I mentioned that one before, that one's just a weird one where they're like medieval.
Oh God, really?
They're kind of parodying film in that movie, as okay. I think they start doing with all the other ones. They just start kind of doing parodies, almost like a Wayne's Brother kind of a thing.
Okay,
but not completely. Wayne's Brothers are very parody heavy,
right?
Where I think they're just kind of doing it as more of a slight and more of like a stoner spin on it. But yeah, they've had a lot of movies. I would say this is the one. This is their top, and they could never top it. This was the big one. So I would agree with you on the influence.
Now, art imitates life here, right? Didn't like Cheech and Chong both got arrested multiple times for weed, or is that just like an urban legend?
Chong got arrested more recently for selling paraphernalia, doing bongs over state lines or something like that, I
So,
think,
like,
right?
bogus charges. It's like stupid charges.
Yeah, whereas Cheech, I'm pretty sure, remained clean. In fact, he quit weed for the longest time.
So they actually did smoke weed, like, in real life. So, like, so Art was entertaining life then a little bit.
Yeah, it sounded like everybody was smoking weed in the industry back then. But I'm like 90% sure, 95% sure that Cheech quit in like the 90s and did all the through the 2000s, and he did like a lot of television.
Right, he did. He was like in Nash Bridges for like a long time. Remember that? He was like Nat. Remember that, Nash Bridges?
Yeah, he was in that. He was.
He was like the sidekick.
Yeah, that's what I was. Because he was in. I'm trying to look up some other stuff too. Yeah, he was in Nash Bridges. I thought he was in. Well, like Tracy Takes On, like Tracy Ullman. Yeah, basically just like comedy stuff.
Right.
Oh, was in Mind of Mencia, Grey's Anatomy. I thought he was in like a cop show.
That was Nash Bridges.
I thought it was. Oh, they had a reboot. I thought it was like an NCIS or something like that, but you're probably right. No, it's probably.
No. It was Nash Bridges. I can't believe I bring that up out of nowhere. No, it's just.
You're right. It was Nash Bridges completely.
It's just the stereotype, right? That these two guys were stoners in real life. That's not necessarily true.
It's that thing where these two comedians made a character, and the character got bigger than they were.
Sure.
Kind of like Andrew Dice Clay. You know.
Yeah, like the boom, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Or I'm sure there are many other characters who passed who the real person was.
Right.
And you just can't escape it. Everywhere you go, you're playing that. Basically, I don't know. I want to say like a lot of TV stars do that too, where maybe everyone from The Office or everyone from like Friends, where
right,
no matter what they
escape.
Do, they could try, and they could get close to succeeding that. Maybe like Courtney Cox playing Gail Weathers. But even that, it's a character that's now going into your seventh movie here.
Right, which she may not be. Okay, so I give this a medium because of what I said with it, right? Where
sure.
It's like it's nostalgic. I get it. It's the godfather of the stoner movies. What's your rating for Up in Smoke?
My complete bias is giving us a large bag for sure. But you have to understand is that this movie, as I've already explained, has a deep part in my life. I remember when it first starting to smoke weed in high school, it was going over someone's house and we got like a little bag of something.
Right.
And we, you know, we'd go out to, you know, to the backyard or behind the house or whatever and smoke. And we would watch a movie. And a lot of the times it was usually a dumb comedy because action movies and movies that are like Thinking Man movies, those will put you to sleep.
Okay.
It's too much. You want something to where you don't need to think, where your brain is completely turned off. And this movie is just that. Just like you said, you can half watch it, and the dumb jokes and the dumb situations that they put themselves in are going to be enough to get you through to the next one. It's harder to watch like The Matrix when you're stoned because you have to be like, wait, what happened? What world are they in? Are they? It's a lot to follow. You have to remember a lot. Whereas a dumb movie like this, or like Dude, Where's My Car? I know we said that, or like Dazed and Confused, maybe. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, kind of Harold and Kumar, those, you don't have to think. Those are just bit, move on to the next scene, bit, move on to the next scene, bit, and it just keeps on rolling through over and over again in different parts. And that's why this movie works. I understand that the story is weak. I understand that production is very low budget. I understand that this movie is only 85 minutes, which is
perfect.
Yeah, it's good enough for me. It's great for the attention span of a stoner, that's for sure. Yeah. It wears something like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which is like what, 2-something hours, and
but this is more of like an LSD movie though.
It's just like a drug movie kind of a thing, right?
Right.
But yeah, you know, you have to. So, like, one of, excuse me, I would say that my favorite stoner movie is not this movie. It's How High. It's absolutely How High.
Now, see, I actually enjoy How High.
Yeah.
I mean, I really thoroughly enjoy How High. I think that movie's hilarious.
I think it meets all the same criteria. Hour and a half, dumb bits, just move on, say the joke, move on to the next one. Say the joke, move on to the next one. Do some smoking scenes, do some funny little dances here and there, and then move on to the next one. And it works. It probably was inspired by this. But yeah, as much as like the movie critic in me would agree with you that this movie is a medium at its best, especially compared to a lot of other movies, stoner movies that have come out since then. But I have a deep personal bias with this movie, and I have to give it a high.
Nice, pun intended.
A high bag, you know, a large.
Right. Yeah. A large with some butter.
And a joint on top.
Yeah, I mean, like it's not for me. That's this, like I said before, that's the square in me. I don't see it. But then I'm crazy, right? Because then I like movies like How High. I don't know. Maybe How High just hits differently, right? I don't know.
But this is where the generational thing comes in, right? Because like Half Baked is also like another 82 minutes. And that kind of speaks to a generation here. That's we can relate to that time.
Right. With this one, I can't relate because now this is more of a stereotype.
Yeah, especially now that weed is legal in basically every state now. And a lot of these movies are about them trying to dodge the police because of their illegal activity.
Right. And then also the stereotype of Hispanics, you know, and everything else. Like, come on, man. It's just all that stuff. It's different. It's a different world. But doesn't mean I don't like it. I'm glad I've seen it. I would have never seen it without Movie Guys Podcast. So I'm glad I did. I'm never going to see it again. but I
usually watch it every year for 420, which is the week that we're recording this, by the way. It's a holiday movie.
Yes, it's a holiday movie, but at least, you know, it is what it is. It's stupid fun. If you've seen it, then you know what we're talking about. If you haven't, check it out. But it is what it is.
And you can miss all the other movies, by the way. You can just check out this one. I didn't tell you, but like I know you're wrapping up, but like Sergeant Stacy Keach reprises his role in Nice Dreams.
Okay, so there's a trilogy.
He comes back, and it gets dumber because in that one he still plays the same character who's like a stoner now, and I think he got like some sort of tainted weed and he's slowly turning into a lizard.
Oh my god! Okay, so now it's getting really stupid at this point.
Yeah, I don't know, because there was that whole rumor that the government had tracker weed. You know, they spiked the weed so they can, you know, track to different areas. And I think that was a little bit of a parody on that.
Oh my! I did not know that was a thing.
Oh yeah, I remember. You know, some kids get paranoid and they go into the bag and it's like, you see this right here? And it's like, it's really what it is like a part of the stem or a stem that was like stripped into like a ribbon. And they're like, see this? This is what the government puts in here to track you, man. And it's just like, yeah. The government has spent billions of dollars to track a group of 16-year-olds who were able to pool together $30 to get a bag of this. This is money well spent. Good job. Brent, I'll call you out by your name.
Oh my god. I can't believe it.
Just ruining my high, man. Jeez, it's like shut up. But we just the stupid things to you.
Fair enough. Well, thank you everybody for listening to this most recent episode of Movie Guys Podcast. You can check us out at Movie Guys Podcast at podbean.com. We have a new episode every Thursday. And also make sure to check us out on Instagram because we do have some fun little stories here and there. So everybody can check those out as well. Eric, thanks so much for joining me. We'll be back next week for another awesome episode. Have a good night. This is a video of a guy videotaping his dad every time his dad gets up. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just listen.
Funny that. No, some of those clips were from Dragon Ball Z for sure.
No, that was a dude. Yeah. Videotaping his dad. It's that. That's me. Like, you know, every time my wife's like, "Hey, can you get down here and fix whatever?" It's like, yeah.
It definitely happens a little bit more at the end of the day for me. Not getting up, because when you get up, you just do the just kind of like the pick me up. But when I sit down, it's, you know how like the body allows for some suspension, you know, just like as you're going down to the chair. You know, here, you're watching me on camera, so I'll give you an example. So like before, it was a nice squat. Younger Eric would be able to just do this and just ease into the chair. And now I'm falling into it every time. Like, I'm going to break the damn thing. We're just like halfway right about here where you just go, oh.
And then you do a little belly rub for no reason.
And then the feet. I take the corns and I just rub them on kind of anything that I can find that's on the ground. Maybe a tennis ball, which I had around here for a little bit. I have a roller chair. So, you know, one of the legs sticking out of that, I'll just, apply some pressure onto that.
Cornville down to Bunyan Country.
Oh, it feels good. Sometimes I'll just take the sock off and I'll just put it on metal. Nice cold. Cold metal for a hot foot. Let that steam up a little bit. Just